So let's begin this morning. Is the cup half empty or half full? Is it half empty or half full? Some of you are half empty and some of you are half full people. And some of you, it depends on the hour of the day, right? You're half empty, you're half full, you're confusing people. Like, should I hang out with you right now? Or should I not hang out with you? Okay, you know, there's an ongoing joke between husbands and whatnot, right? Which is not true. We just joke around. You know, we always say, is my wife in a good mood or in a bad mood today? And I know wives are the same way. It's like, is my husband in a good mood or in a bad mood today? So all of us are with all these different personalities is like, are we half empty or half full? I need a volunteer real quick. Mike McIrvin's always a good sport. I was going to use David, but you were holding guitar, so come up, Mike. Sit on stage. Give it for Mike. Hold this. Give it up for Mike, guys. Is it empty? Empty. All right, hold it out like this. You can verify it's empty. All right, so here we go. Couple, that's one less than a quart, okay? So that's 11 ounces. 11 ounces of water. I got to put this somewhere so it doesn't spill. 11 ounces, hold it out. 11 ounces of water. Is it half empty or half full? I mean, I don't want to fill up to half because, you know, just hold up just like that. Some of you will look at this and say, oh, that's half empty. But some of us, like my own personality, right, which it's in my son as well, look at that and say, man, that's half full. That's what we have to work with. So let's go with it. But some of you might look at some of you will look at this and say, that's not enough resource. It's half empty. But it's all how we look at it. Half empty or half full. I want to close up the idea of connected to the vine. You see all the vine that's been growing behind me. It's now on the stage and all around you. In a little bit, I'll share that with you in a second. But in John chapter 15, you can see it on the screen. You have your Bible. Jesus says this, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. This was my first sermon of 2021. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So you heard this entire year, our theme is staying connected to the vine. This idea that the Jewish nation is waiting for this true vine. They call it the vine of Israel. As foretold by Isaiah and Jeremiah, the vine of Israel. This whole year we're talking about connected to the vine. And as you know, coming into 2021, it was hard coming out of a pandemic of 2020. And it's celebrating 2021, and now what's happening here, the only lifeline I and myself and our church and some of you, it's really be reminded every single week on this wall to stay connected to the vine. We spoke about the fruit of the Spirit, how we grow on a daily basis. We had visits during Easter from Pilate, remember him? The centurion, Nicodemus, and Barabbas. You had visitors from those people here on our stage. And then we spoke about the Psalms. We had this beautiful set at the altar. And we sang hymns for 7 weeks straight. That was incredible. And we talk about the seven churches of Revelation. And in the middle of that series, I had COVID. And then my whole family had COVID, so I was quarantined for an entire month. There was one time where I preached from the back of the stage because I wanted to be safe. So you guys were watching me on the screen. And then we talk about the women that brought us Jesus. And then closer to Christmas, we have Zachariah visited here on our stage. You guys remember that? And leading up to all of this, right, this idea that Jesus is king, like the Jewish people have been waiting for this king, the vine of Israel, leading into Christmas, spending months planning it, bringing everything together and wrap it up and give it to you on the bow. We have candles set up. We have a whole play set up. We had skits. We have scripture reading. We had this whole thing that's going to light up and welcome Jesus as king. And that Friday, I was around someone who had COVID, and we had practice here, and I got tested positive on Christmas Eve morning. So 4 months of work of planning. We had to cancel Christmas Eve service because I was around our entire band that night. So we wanted to be safe, so we cancel our Christmas Eve service. The only lifeline I had in our church was to roll with the punches, and my cup was half full. Luckily, we recorded our practices. So I said, well, let's just show a recording of our practices for Christmas Eve service. How many of you guys watch our Christmas Eve service? Awesome. Okay. We watched it online. So roll with the punches. So we had Christmas Eve service online only. The only lifeline I had was staying connected to the vine. Was it half empty or half full? Sure, there were discouragements, disappointment, but also here's some good news. Then the last year, we spent $11,000 on helping people, paying the bills and church events without asking you any special offerings. That is a huge number for our church. Amen? We gave $12,000 to missions globally and locally. And next week, I'm going to share with you how much we budgeted for this year to give away. Our attendance increased over 100. We fed FAU students every single Friday, and we fed 50 international students and some locally here on Thanksgiving Day because they didn't have a place to go. We donated resources to Jason Mitchell, socks, underwear, whatever they needed. We spent thousands of dollars for 40 kids for Christmas for those underprivileged families. I mean, we had people buying nice things that I wouldn't even buy for my own kids. I said, I want to be on that anchor tree next year and put a list for myself. We spend a lot. We had 13 baptisms. In our first baby dedication of 9 children, that was our 2021. Was that half empty or half full? That was absolutely half full. A lot for us. Can you hold it up, please? Staying connected to the vine was the only option. Myself, our church, the eldership, we look at this every single week. We say, wow, the vine is growing. Staying connected to Jesus. And don't get me wrong here. There are some Sundays. There are some days where I stand up here and I say, come on, God. Come on, God. Our attendance is pushing over 100, 123, and shuts down. We push over 118 and shuts down. I was so looking forward to this week, and the whole world is sick. And a lot of you are watching online. Come on, God. But those whispers of God, I am the vine. You are the branches. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Your attention up here. And those of you watching at home, I need you to focus up here. It doesn't matter if the cup is half empty or half full. What matters is this. Be reminded every single day, recognizing every single day that God is holding on to it with you. Amen? Be reminded every single day, as I walk in here, as I walk around and pick up the cups and some trash and just making sure everything is ready, I look at the wall and I said, I know he's holding it with me. And I want you to know, here and at home, it doesn't matter if the cup is half empty or half full, but remember who is holding it with you. David, come on up real quick, Dave. No, he's going to hold it with you to help you out. All right, so I don't want you to take this from him. I just want you to hold it with him. There you go. Easier? All right, you get the point. Go ahead and sit down, Dave. We'll let him struggle for a little longer. Jesus, he is the one that's doing the growing, the pruning. He is literally doing most of the work in your lives. All we have to do is stay connected to him, to the vine. Let's pretend this is your life in the past year. Okay? Yeah, you can just switch hands. Let's pretend that's your life in the past year. We have some kind of stress and problems, do we? Like I do. We all do. You have things that happen to you that's out of your control. Way out of your control. Things that are caused by other people. But you also have some things that are caused by nature as well. So some of you have friends and families who live in Kentucky, and then a couple of days before the New Year's came through, and a tornado rips through some towns and took everything. Some of you have suffered from COVID or a variant, and you have deaths in the family, and you stay quarantined for a couple of days or even months, like my case, for a whole month long in the past year. Some of you guys have a rebellious child or something that's happened in your life that you cost yourself as well. Whether it's your addictions or whatever you decide to get your hands into, that you cost. But regardless, you live in a fallen world. You live in a sinful world. Bad things are going to happen. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. He didn't say this is not, no, he didn't say that in this world, you're going to live a clean slate life and nothing will happen to you. In this world, you're going to have trouble. I had 4 hours to plan an online Christmas Eve service. I was in here by myself preaching to an audience of one to God. Now, something you don't know about me is I'm afraid of the dark. Okay? One time I was traveling with my team. We travel around camps and churches all over the country to share the gospel, to serve in the churches. And one time we went to Indiana. How many of you guys are from Indiana? How many of you guys heard of Indiana? What is your perception of Indiana? Corn, and besides Indianapolis, it's just emptiness, right? You drive for miles without anything. We were staying in this house, and when we visit these towns or these churches, they usually split our team up. There were five of us, and they would split us up, four of us. They would split us up. So when we got to the church, we ate with the church. The hospitality was incredible. And then one of my team member were dispersed to this young family, right? Another girl was dispersed to a couple, young couple who just got married. And another girl was dispersed to a girl who, young college kids and to stay with her and whatnot. And I said, well, that's kind of cool. And it's my turn. I got put into a home of this really old couple who lives by themselves. I was like, man, this is awesome. So I'm a talker. So I like history as well. So I'm really excited, right? On our way to their house, I felt like we never get there. We're going through these windy roads and cornfields and graveyards, and we kept going. We passed a ton of factories, but nothing was around. There's no neighborhood, and we go down this empty road, and all of a sudden it's their little home. We got into the house, and they said, we've been here for generations. Over 100 years, this house has been here. My father dies in that room. My grandmother dies in that room. And that's where you're going to stay. Now, I'm afraid of the dark as it is, okay? So that night, I slept with my Bible on my chest, as if like something is going to happen to me. So I didn't sleep all night. Consider this. I didn't sleep all night, and we have to do this huge play for the church that Sunday morning. My point to say this, that night when I was preaching on Christmas Eve service in here by myself, the building was dark, right? I had to turn down the light so that it picks up better in the camera. In the middle of my sermon, I blame you for this, Don, the baptistry came on. So the whole time I was like, okay, I'm going to leave right now and leave Christmas Eve service hanging and run out of here, because being in here by yourself, this huge empty building, it's nerve-wracking. So my point, I have to plan that in 4 hours. Okay, that had nothing to do with my sermon, but it's just a cool story, okay? That night was scary when I was in here by myself. The only thing I had was staring at that wall with the vine, and says, I know he's holding on it with me. I know he's there with me. Here's our problem. Literally. Here's our problem. Literally. Here's our problem. Literally. Here's our problem. Okay. We think, here, let me hold it for you for a second. Give you a break. Okay. We think that this is how God only accepts us, right? We think he accepts us with the empty cup, with no problems and whatnot. Okay, but that's not true. Throughout the years, you're going to have some stressful times, a lost job, whatever it may be, or the job you don't even like, but you're stuck in it because there's no other way. Okay, and then you add a little bit more of some debts along the way, or sickness or whatever it may be. And then along the way, you have a rebellious child or some circumstances that's out of your control with your friendship or whatever it may be. And you keep adding some problems. Okay? And the temptation is, God doesn't accept me looking like that. So we stay away from church altogether. We stay away from God altogether. We stress for work week, so we skip being intimate with God. An argument with the spouse, we skip being intimate with God. God can't accept me that way. Our stress level gets so high that we took it up 30 feet in the air, slapping people and arguing people on airplanes. You see it every single week now. Here's the worst part. Some of us, we take our problems and we go and tell everybody. We spread it. Now, no, that's why no one sits in the first row, because sometimes I do things that people just like, I'm avoiding the first two rows, okay? So sometimes we take our problem and we just project it on people. Hey, the guy down the street, we tell them, okay? The girl next door, we tell him or her, right? The neighbor, let's go tell them. Let's invite friends over. Let's have dinner so I can tell you my problem. Are you having fun about this? Yeah. Okay, it's all over now. Okay, guys, there's a point to this, okay? So what do we do? It's 2022. What do we do? Do we carry this half full, half empty into the new year? Or do we do something else? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world, it's undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Your attention appears. You're watching this at home. I want you to get this point. Cast all your anxiety on God because he knows what to do with it. Resist the temptation of staying away from God or staying away from church because God is the only person that can take this away or gives you the strength to move on. In the God of all grace who call you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Look at here, guys. This is roughly 33 ounces of water. Is it half empty or half full? And let me tell you this. It doesn't matter if it's half empty or half full in your life, the problem, it's not the problems. The problem is how long we're holding on to them. Is it that heavy?
Yes.
Because you've been holding it for how long?
Long time.
A long time. David, come up here real quick. Hold them up. Now put it back down. Was that heavy? No. You get my point? God says, cast your anxiety on me because the problems you have in your life are not really the problems. The problem that's in our lives is because we're holding on to them too stinking long. It's 2022. Let it go. Stay connected in the vine. Thank you. That was your workout for the day. Cast your care on God because he's the only person that can grow us, makes us strong, can stand firm in faith, keep moving forward. I'm not saying your problem's going to go away. You can still feel it. You can feel the soreness a little bit. You can feel it, but you know God's holding with you. But what I am saying is some of the strongest, bravest, at peace people that I know are the people cast their anxiety to God. What if you begin your new year in 2022 just letting it go? Stop holding your stress out. Stop holding on to it. Stop projecting it on other people. And let God, the God of grace, who cares, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered for a little while. He didn't say your life's going to be perfect. Listen to what he said. After you have suffered for a while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You should have a candle. If you don't have a candle, raise your hand. We're going to give you one. You should have communion, all of you. If you don't have one, raise your hand. We'll give you one. For the next few moments, as the band come forward, instead of me going on and on and on for the next 15, 20 minutes, Jesus, I'm the vine. You are the branches. A candle in your hands represent whatever anxiety you have, whatever problem you have in your life. You can keep holding on to it, or symbolically, you can bring it up and put on this table. And I want you to take one of these. And I want you to put it somewhere in your view every single day. Put it in your car, put it in your mirror, whatever you want to put it on. And remember John chapter 15. As a constant reminder for you for 2022, that's my lifeline. The beauty of God is this. There are days where I tell Liz and the elders or some of my friends, it's discouraging sometimes. It is. It's discouraging sometimes to be a pastor. But the whispers of God is that He makes everything new every single day because I know who's holding it with me. Okay? As the band sing, whenever you're ready, I want you to spend some time in prayer. Share with God whatever's in your heart for 2022. Those of you watching online, you know, we're going to mail this to you as well. But if you're watching this online with your family, get together and pray together. What is it that you want God to take care of in 2022? Maybe it's a new business. Maybe it's a new venture. Maybe some things you want to get rid of or give up and you need help. Whenever you're ready, bring your candle forward, turn it on and put it on the table and take one of these and bring it back with you. As you go back to your seat, you should have communion in your hands. Take communion on your own and spend some time with God. And when I feel like it's appropriate, I'll come and win our service. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for all that you've given us and who you are. We ask that you guide us in this time of prayer and welcoming 2022. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. In Revelation chapter 21, who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I am making everything new. May those words be encouragement to you as you leave here today for 2022. God, we give you thanks. It is in the name of Jesus, our mighty God, our Lord, our Savior. From our lips to your ears, God, we thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless.